the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right, Israel getting it on with Iran. I love it. Fire back. Attack. A little bit harder next time, but I have no qualms whatsoever. I wish it had been a little bit more robust. I wish they had gone after the nukes. I wish they had gone after the Ayatollah. I wish they had gone after, hell, maybe even the oil production stuff. I mean, they've got to be stopped. They got to be contained. They got to be put in their place, Iran. For whatever reason, all kinds of geopolitical appeasement Biden stuff going on that they can't go too hard right now. A lot of things now. Now, then again, look, we can't have the oil production taken out because that will screw up everybody's life. But Iran is like the black hand in all of this. And I just still can't fathom why it's so controversial to go after them. Well, we do have the Obamas and the Bidens who love Iran and can't give them enough money and think that Iran will be some sort of direct and honest broker in all this stuff. They never will be, at least not with this regime. The Iranian people are great people. The mullahs and the ayatollahs and all those folks are freaks. And they are just, I mean, look, read their tweets. These are bloodthirsty ghouls, and they hate Israel. Totally hate Israel. I am surprised that they've been able to kind of get away with it for this long, funding everybody like they have, funding Hezbollah, funding Hamas. Things get very, very murky, don't they? Things are not quite what they seem. And that brings me to the Speaker Johnson guy. Nicest guy in the world. What do they have on him? Is he compromised as well? Somebody told me that about a third of the Congress is compromised. One third. Now, what does that mean? That means, according to this individual, could mean a lot of things. Could mean the Chinese have dirt on them. Could mean the FBI has dirt on them. Could mean who knows what. But there's like a third of the Congress not acting in our best interests, actively working against our best interests. And I don't know. Big question mark about this Speaker Johnson. Could be on his way out. Then again, we cannot afford to lose the majority, even if it's only symbolic. I don't care, quite frankly, right now, if they don't get anything done. If Hakeem Jeffries becomes the man, that that could actually have a huge impact on the presidential contest. And it would just, you'd say, like, Republicans don't know how to govern. I mean, nobody knows how to govern, quite frankly. But it would be very bad optics. In the meantime, the Trump trial. Ay, poor guy, you know, he's in there. They're screwing with the thermostat. It's either too hot or it's too cold. I know exactly how he feels. I'm very sensitive to the temperature indoors. And I think they're playing games with him. They want to get inside his head. But he's participating. This guy is a threat to democracy, a threat to the rule of law. Every time you turn around, he's complying with the court, complying with you know, this appointment, that appointment, this motion, following the orders, following the directives. He grumbles about it a lot, but you know what? You're allowed to grumble about it a lot, especially when the whole damn thing is rigged. Judge Mershon is the creepiest guy in the world. Absolute total creep. There are people who are basically telling him, I don't think I can be fair on this jury, and they're allowing these jurors to be seated. It's really, really... Well, it's corrupt. It's New York. It's a bit of a throwback. And what the hell are we going to do? That's their attitude. What are the people going to do? What are we going to be able to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Go protest? They'll lock us up like the January Sixers. They'll lock us up. Oh, in a heartbeat, they will lock us up. Hey, this is interesting. A little adventure of one juror. I think he's a bit of a head case, but his name is Herson Cabreras. And he said he was taken by surprise when the judge overseeing Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York dismissed him from the jury after he had already been impaneled. That surprised me. It really surprised me. I said, wow, something else is going on here. You want me out? Okay, fine. Well, this guy, this is where the head case. He was arrested. I mean, everybody knows you can't be on a jury when you're arrested, especially when you're arrested for political hijinks. Cabreras, an IT professional and political consultant,
felt as if he had been inserted into the middle of a competition between Judge Mershon and the prosecution. Everybody wants to look good and fair in front of the public, but they don't act fair. So his thing is, the kerfuffle over his jury service arose after prosecutors raised the issue of a 1991 incident in which Cabrera-ish and an associate were accused of tearing down political campaign signs in Harrison, New York. A majority of the signs belonged to Republicans. But Cabrera-ish, who was in his late 70s, said he hardly even remembered the incident. I hardly remember that time I was busted by the cops. You remember. Everybody, unless you're like, you know, a mobster and you've been arrested 47 times, you don't, you remember. He said he has served on civil juries in New York and never had to disclose the poster incident. Well, yeah, because you you should have. I didn't expect they were going to go back 30 years ago. Well, 30 years ago, buddy, you were in your late 40s. You were in your late 40s. You're going to just let that one slide. What are you doing, by the way, pulling down posters in your late 30s, 40s? That's something Beavis and Butthead do in middle school. Beavis and Butthead in middle school. During the courtroom confrontation that led to his dismissal, largely inaudible to the reporters present, Cabrera-ish expected Mershon to intervene. But according to Cabrera-ish, Mershon let prosecutors run away with the poster incident, using it to push him off the panel. I looked at him and like, aren't you going to say something, Cabrera-ish recalled? I'm sitting there, I'm the target, and he's supposed to be judging, and he just let it happen. He didn't say anything. This Cabrera-ish is no good. He really wanted to be on that thing. And why? Why did he want to be on it? Look, this whole thing is stupid. It's a farce. It's a joke. And I go back to that rotten lawyer, Pomerantz, Michael Pomerantz. The guy wrote a book. You know, you think when you write a book, I kind of had some experience. I had a very good editor, but there's not as many barriers between the author and like the book being in your hands and all kinds of stuff being in the book that could incriminate you, that could embarrass you, that should embarrass you, that should incriminate you. Michael Pomerantz is this crazy Trump-hating lawyer, runs around the Manhattan DA's office volunteering his time, brainstorming with those guys, trying to figure out ways to get Trump, trying to figure out ways to scare witnesses when they don't have anything on them. His words, it's right in his own book. I'm like one of the only people who's noticed this other than Trump himself. You know, books come and go, and nobody actually reads the books. Trump has this guy's number. He was the architect of this whole case, this whole Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen farce. And it is a farce. It really is. Man, how does he do it? And what is the long-term impact? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to. I think we're beyond the stage where everything, all of these cases are helping him. They did. They gave him the nomination. But now what? Now what? The time that's involved. And ordinary people looking at this and being, yeah, I don't know about this guy anymore. I don't know. I worry about everything. Hey, Biden is done in Pennsylvania and he's on his way to, where? Not Camp David, Delaware. Why not? Of course, it's the weekend. How about that? A part-time president. If you were president of the United States, would you run home every weekend, every Friday at 3? Would you be on the train to go home? Or would you be giving it all for your country? I think most people would give it their all. There are a couple of presidents who didn't. He certainly is not, Biden. George W. Bush was another lazy loaf, always heading off to that silly ranch of his, that fake ranch. I was on that ranch once. There was nothing really ranch-like about it. It was in the middle of a field, of a great big giant field, like 10,000 acres. But it was like the fanciest house I've ever seen. It really was like this magnificent. It was like the best spa times 1,000. That's where he lived. It wasn't ranch. It wasn't ranch stuff. It wasn't horses and cowboy hats. It was high living. So listen to this. This is how RNC research sums up Joe Biden's swing through Pennsylvania. Biden just wrapped up a swing through Pennsylvania, and it was a total and complete disaster with shuffles, slurs, and a lot of lying. In just a few stops, Biden falsely claimed twice that his uncle was eaten alive by cannibals in New Guinea. Tried and repeatedly failed big time to emulate the energy of President Trump's impromptu bodega visit That's right. Instead of going to a bodega, which, let's face it, a bodega is kind of a kick-ass kind of place, you know? It's a little bit dangerous, it's a little bit dirty, but it's very kind of gritty and real and cool, and you got these, you know, everything from Brillo pads to Almond Joy, and usually there's some cat walking around the place, and maybe some ice cream, and some beer, of course, some Modelo, some... it's just kind of an interesting vibe. Wawa, Wawa doesn't have the same vibe going, right? You ever been to a Wawa? First of all, it's the cleanest place in the world. I've never seen anything, any environment. I've been in operating rooms that aren't even that clean. Wawa. Wawa. It's a Pennsylvania thing, a little bit New Jersey thing. I think they may have some of them in Virginia. Wawa. And it is like this mecca of food and recreation and giant clean bathrooms. I want to go to a Wawa right now, although I won't. I won't. There's also something thoroughly nerdy and weird about Wawa. So he goes there, and the Wawa corporate staff is there trying to make it seem all like impromptu. They got 75 guys who set up his visit to the Wawa. Wawa is, what is Wawa? It's like a glorified 7-Eleven with a thoroughly dumb name, Wawa. All right, so that didn't work. He instructed Israel not to bomb their own city. Remember that? He told them not to bomb Haifa. Asked if Americans were ready to choose freedom over democracy. Huh? Wait. That sounds good, but wait a second. Americans, do you want to choose freedom over democracy? Falsely claimed he cut the budget by a lot of money. Falsely claimed he never spoke with anyone about the political prosecutions of President Trump. I got it. He talked a million times about this stuff publicly, privately. I got it from the New York Times. I got it from his own mouth. He talked about prosecuting him. He did it in public. Falsely claimed twice that D-Day was on a Sunday. Now, that is something I would not know. When was D-Day? June 6, 1944, right? What day of the week was June 6, 1944, if you don't mind? Claimed his mother didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954. His mother did not live in Scranton since she was 1,954 years old. Was followed by rabid anti-Israel protesters at every turn. Oh, yes, he was. He certainly was. Anti-Israel protesters, also known as pro-terrorist protesters. It's funny, you know, he's screwing over Israel, but it's not appeasing the hardcore squad people who want to screw over Israel. He told steelworkers the middle class did not build America. Thanks, Joe. You really think that? Falsely claimed the United Steelworkers were the first outfit ever to endorse him during his 1972 run, just weeks after falsely telling the United Auto Workers the exact same thing. I think the first outfit to ever endorse this guy in 1972 was the Klan. I mean, why else would Strom Thurmond have been and Harry Byrd and Larry Byrd have been such – not Larry Byrd. Who was that guy from West Virginia? Byrd. There's a Harry Byrd and then there's a Robert Byrd. That's the Byrds. Harry Byrd from Virginia, Robert Byrd from West Virginia. Robert Byrd especially, a grand cyclops in the Ku Klux Klan. You know, people say, oh, he was a grand wizard. And they say, that's false, false. He was not a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. He was a grand cyclops. They had this weird ranking system in the Ku Klux Klan. And Robert Byrd, nasty guy, nasty guy. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Absolutely delicious. We got two great big cakes that have been just about destroyed because of Sid's birthday. Happy birthday to Sid. What is he, 67, 68? How old is Sid? I'm only kidding. I know he's in his 50s still. He looks great, of course, all ripped and pumped up and what is it about that guy in his clothes? He never looks wrinkled. You know what I mean? I look very schlubby all the time. I can't help it. He always looks, like he just, stepped out of GQ, all fresh. I've never been able to pull that off. Possibly, I think it is, it has to do with when I shower and when I get out, when I get dressed. I get dressed too quickly after the shower. I think you gotta really dry off. That's part of it. All right. Happy birthday to him. Hey, the other thing, this Papua New Guinea thing, I knew this was going to blow up. I mean, it was just gross enough and stupid enough that Joe Biden would dare lie about a family member getting eaten by cannibals. Who would, I mean, even if it was true, would you talk about it? What a macabre thing. Macabre, right? Is that the word? Macabre. Overly gruesome. Here's Joe. It's totally untrue, but I mean, you're really a sick guy to go around talking about cannibals. You go 25 years of your life never even thinking about cannibals, and here's Joe bringing up three times in one day. Go ahead.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete. They tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. And they gave, like many of you, risked your lives, and you know people who gave their lives to the country. They're heroes. But one of the things that as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it.
How many lies can this guy fit in to 45 seconds? Everything he said is total BS. Everything. All of it. All of it. Sorry, but including the stuff about his own son. Including and especially the stuff about his own uncle. And you know who's really annoyed by this? Papua New Guinea is like this big island near Australia. Part of it is actually part of Australia. And the president's suggestion that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals harms U.S. efforts to build Pacific ties, say local experts, is in The Guardian. Joe Biden's suggestion that his pumple may have been eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea. By the way, his uncle, he crashed into the water, like 1,000 miles from Papua New Guinea. All right. But this has set off a major diplomatic fiasco between Papua New Guinea and America. Sorry, Papua New Guinea. This guy should apologize to Papua New Guinea and any remaining cannibals who had nothing to do with eating Uncle Joe.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Man, this was embarrassing even for Joe. His campaign swing, this is one for, my God, this is one for the millennium. Man, oh man, oh man.
One thing he boldly got up there and started yelling, I've never made a salary of $400,000. Never, ever, 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 ever. That's how much he makes right now. The president of the United States' salary is $400,000 a year. His whole shtick is, I'm the poorest man. I was the poorest man in the U.S. Senate. I'd have been cash poor, but he was house rich. I looked it up. He owned all kinds of crazy real estate in the 1970s, including the biggest and most prestigious house in Delaware, the DuPont Mansion. He got it when he was 34 years old, 3 years into his Senate term. Crazy stuff. He also had a Mercedes, a Lamborghini, and a Corvette. You hear about the Corvette. You never really hear about the Mercedes and the Lamborghini. Let's see. What else on this trip? He forgot the word Scranton. Told that bizarre and incoherent story from decades ago about answering his motel room door wearing nothing but a towel and shaving cream. Falsely claimed he's ahead in 35 polls. I told you one about the steelworkers. And the United Steelworkers were the first outfit to ever endorse him. And he told the United Auto Workers the same thing. Oh, and then there's his new friend, JoJo. He's got a new friend named JoJo Washington. It's like he's like the black Joe the Plumber. That's what he is. And but at least Joe the Plumber was kind of genuine, right? This was manufactured. We need a working class guy, preferably a person of color, to become friends with Joe. And then they found this guy, JoJo Washington, in Pennsylvania. And he hangs around Joe right now. But the thing is, he's not really a steel worker. He's a union delegate. And now he just became the mayor of some small town in Pennsylvania. JoJo, a Democrat operative. It's like, who was that guy who was big in New York for a while? Dennis Rivera, right? Remember him, the big hospital unions guy? Joe in Mount Sinai, yes.
Hello, Greg. From his uncle being eaten by cannibals, how he met his wife when he was already having whatever with her, the stories he tells. When is this man, the people that died because of him, servicemen, people that get poisoned by fentanyl, and people that get killed at the hands of illegal aliens, and he says, well, how many Americans kill? He is a disgrace. Him and the Pope, they're all the axis of evil.
Hey, do me a favor. Leave the Pope out of it for crying. I mean, why are you bringing up the Pope? Leave the Pope out of it, all right? I know this Pope is a little bit different. What are you bringing up the Pope for? What are you going to start telling me all those crazy stories about the blood and everything like that? Are you one of those guys?
No. His Kumpati Cheech that was molesting nuns was excommunicated and brought him back after two months.
Do me a favor. Leave the Pope out of it, all right? Just you can talk about anything you want except the Pope. Fair enough?
Okay.
All right.
Fair.
All right.
Joe Biden needs to be held accountable for his crimes over his life and the way he treated people and his disrespect for the American people and his uncaringness. He needs to be held accountable. And that's my big thing. I look at all these rats that don't get punished. And he's the number one right now.
Joe, do me a favor. You're going to work yourself up and you're going to say something that we'll both regret. I can tell you're getting all worked up. You're going to even take a shot at the. All right. Don't worry. I know he's a low life. I know. But don't let him ruin your day. All right.
He doesn't ruin my day.
It sounds like you're about to get into a car crash. All right.
Listen. This is the way that we have to fight. We cannot say, oh, he's
well, what does that mean? Okay. Wait, whoa. What is the way that we have to fight? To say stuff, nasty, you know, nasty but true stuff on the radio? How are you fighting? How are you, Joe, fighting?
Every person that I get into a conversation with.
That's just obnoxious. You can't go around getting into conversations about politics with everybody. I gave this speech to Maria last week, all right? I want you to get on social media. I want you to start venting into the camera on your, Instagram, make an account. You can make one in 10 seconds. It's easy. And start raging right into the camera. Will you do that for me, please?
I can't.
And then why can't you do that?
because I don't have time to do that.
Oh, you don't have time. You don't have time. You're on the golf course every day. You've got more important things to do than save the country. You got to golf with your buddies. Hey, I tell you what, if you get your own account going, you can even trash the Pope if you want. How about you, Joe? I'm sorry. You don't have time because you're on the golf course and you're going to change one person's mind. You're going to annoy one person at a time. Joe, you can't. Nobody wants to talk politics on the golf course. Or maybe they do, but you're not going to change any minds out there. I'm sorry, but it does frustrate me. All right, you don't have the time. Are you given money? Have you given money? Have you written letters? Have you done a million other things? Have you thought about the January 6 prisoners? Have you written to Peter Navarro, encourage him while he's in jail? Have you reached out? Come on, man. I want you to do more. I want you to be more. All right, going to the golf course, yelling at people, all right, and ripping on the Pope. Social media, find the time. I'm serious. This is the way we do it. We don't have the New York Times. We don't even have the New York Post anymore. We the people. You got a voice, all right, Joe. I'm furious with you right now. Goodbye. Ah, damn it, on the golf course. Doesn't have time. Does social media for all of its evils, for all of its you know, the horrible addictiveness of it all and children being swept away and status conscious, image conscious. That silly platform can move elections, can change the world. Did you hear what Joe said? He calls up here all the time. He's always fired up. He's always really, rah, 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 rah. And he doesn't have time because he's on the golf course. Trump, I know, is not on the golf course right now. He'd probably rather be. He could be. If he really wanted to, he could have been. Could have been on the golf course right now. And by the way, you know, Trump is older than just about everybody who lives. He's almost 80 years old. I asked Joe once. Joe's only like 66 or something like that. A lot of life, a lot of time, a lot of energy. Make something happen for the country. I'm so furious with you, Joe, but I like you. You got to go and use this and harness this energy and do something productive with it. All right. Hey, maybe if you want, why don't we all show up at one of those pro-terrorist riots and come out and yell and scream things at them and make fun of them? I'd be all into that. Cut eight, please. Cut eight.
When a huge majority of Jewish students are saying we feel uncomfortable, we experience anti-Semitism, those concerns should be taken seriously.
You're damn right about that. Cut nine. The police commissioner. Where the hell has he been? This is the police commissioner. This is the police commissioner. His name is Cabin. Cut nine.
Based on the university's wishes to clear the South Lawn, which again is university property, arrests were made for trespass.
All right. Anything else? Uh-oh. What the hell does Adams have to say? Now, Adams, it doesn't really matter what he says in public because he just doesn't live up to it. Doesn't, you know, he's two-faced. 20-faced, 100-faced, cut 10.
New Yorkers have every right to express their sorrow, but that heartbreak does not give you the right to harass others, to spread hate.
Why are we cutting these things so small, so short? New Yorkers! Well, it's better than when he wanted to kick cracker ass. I'll give him that. Brian, hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello. Good, good. Hey, I was calling that the city, they wanted to change the speed limit to from 25 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour. And that's currently in the bills going through in Albany right now. And it's bad enough that you have to go to 25 miles an hour to knock it down to 20. That's slower than a funeral procession. And, you know, none of our politicians are mentioning this, talking about it, outraged about it. We elect them, and this is what they do. They stay silent instead of watching out for our interests. And to me,
well, number one, I didn't even know the speed limit was 25 miles per hour. I thought it was 30 miles per hour.
No, it's 25. Where it's not posted, it's 25.
Nobody really pays too much attention to it. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody.
Camera,
I mean. Yeah, I haven't got one. I'm driving around the city all the time. I haven't got one of those tickets yet. I haven't. If anything, I would like to go 25 miles per hour. Everything's so jammed, backed up, and whatever. It doesn't seem all right. So 20 miles per hour. That does seem a little bit on the slow side, doesn't it? Although I will tell you this, I'll tell you this, on some of the side streets, and somebody goes 30, 35 miles per hour, that's pretty fast on some of the side streets. Really fast, actually. All right, so they're moving it to 20 miles per hour. How do you know this? Did you look it up?
Yes, it's through the...
Well, maybe it's going to die in committee. Isn't that what it does sometimes? Who's pushing this thing?
No, Hochul was on the radio the other day praising that it's going to be...
Oh, that silly woman. That silly, vapid woman. Man, send her back to the beauty parlor in Buffalo. I can't believe it. Somebody's given this housewife real power. I can't stand it. And blame Cuomo, by the way. You know, Cuomo and these others, they always pick some doofus to be the lieutenant governor, thinking they'll never become the governor. And the joke is on us. They actually go out of their way to find a doofus. They want somebody who is, you know, never going to give them a hard time. Oh, this person will never be governor. and now look at where we are. Look at where we are. All right, what?
Greg, where are the politicians watching out for us? We vote them in. To watch out for our
you really buy that? You know that they're looking out for us. You really think that's part of the game?
No, I know they aren't. But that's what it's supposed to be.
Hey, I tell you what. Call Vito Fisella. He's a good guy. What is he? He's the borough president of Staten Island, where you live. Give him a call, and he'll help you out on this one. Yeah, let's call Vito. Let's call Vito. Hey, come on. There's more happening than you realize, all right? There is more happening. These guys are up there. Give them a call. Have you made an appointment with anybody, Brian?
Oh, I called them today.
You know what? Call them. Write a letter. You know, you're Brian on Staten Island, damn it. You know, make it happen. Are you working?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Are you working? Are you retired? What's your status?
No, I'm working. In fact, I'm driving right now for work. So I had a minute, and I figured I'd call you and see if I could get through.
Well, I appreciate it, but you know what? To get stuff done, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get stuff done. And these politicians, you can get to them. You can talk to them, especially a guy like you. You know the details. You know the ins and outs.
Called our congressman today, and the guy on the phone, the answer for him, had no clue.
Kidding. I mean, look, here's the other thing. You guys think that calling up somebody is going to make a difference. I told you this a million times, and I know it sounds old-fashioned, and I know it's a pain in the ass. You start writing letters to these guys, okay? Because you know what they got to do with those letters? They got to archive them. It becomes government property, and you can't destroy government property, and it exists. It exists in the real world. And what happens? They call you back. Your phone call from this morning doesn't even exist. Unfortunately, this call doesn't exist. However, I will preserve it. Thank you, pal, very much. Good luck with that. 20 miles per hour is too slow. But nobody, I think the problem, that's too slow. It's just too slow. It's ludicrously slow. The other thing that we have to, give me 1 second here. And then we're all going to sing happy birthday for the Sid guy. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, no. What? What? All right. There was a fire downtown near the courthouse, and I have a report that some guy set himself on fire right near the court. Set himself on fire. Man, how crazy do you have to be? Unfortunately, this is like a trend. When people want to make a political statement, like it's the most extreme political statement. But I mean, what does it mean? They douse themselves with gas and then they light the match. There is not one person in the world who's ever done that who actually thought it was a good idea. Once they lit the match, it's got to be the most painful thing in the world. It used to happen. Remember those Buddhist monks? Several of them did it in front of the Pentagon back during the Vietnam War. Some guy did it in Prospect Park more recently. Prospect Park. He was upset about global warming. Somebody else did it. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Somebody did it in Wisconsin somewhere. And now this. Yikes. Somebody just set themselves on fire. Report. Laura Loomer, she's got good gout. She's right in the middle of all this stuff. Fire breaks out near courthouse where Trump is on trial is underway. Oh, man. Talk about emotions running high. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Yep, it's all over the place. Man sets himself on fire near the Trump courthouse. What do they call that? Self-immolation? Ugh. Gross. You ever see a body get burned? Like, all the way? I have. It's very strange. The limbs start to freeze. Yeah, it's a strange thing to see. Why would anybody do this? I wonder what this does to the trial today. Are they going to call it off? Are they going to? This is the kind of thing that could really shake you up if you're going into court and you see something like that. Was this a pro-Trump person, an anti-Trump person, or just a person? No longer a person. My goodness. Don't, oh man, there's always help, right? You got to call that hotline. What's that hotline? Call the hotline next time you, Barbara, can you believe this? Somebody just burned themselves right outside the court to death.
That's tragic. That has to be a mentally ill person because it's so, so very extreme.
I know.
We just have to pray for that person and pray for their family.
So, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm listening to you, though, encouraging us all to get on social media and to get the messages out and to expand our reach. And I don't think that's asking a lot of us to do that instead of other things, even important things, more important maybe than golf, although I love golf. But this week marks the anniversary, 249 years ago, of the battles of Lexington and Concord. And when you read about those battles, which I've just been reviewing, when you read against them and you read what these colonists did and how they took the barest of weapons, you know, the minimal of weapons to defend themselves and went up against the greatest army in the world and did it to defend their right to rule themselves. They risked everything. They went out with their sons. In the first battle, 8 Americans were killed. Several of them were father and sons who died. They went out. They risked everything. They risked their homes, their money, their reputation, their lives, their family's lives. So it's not too much to ask for us to make time in our busy schedule to get on social media. And a good way to learn how to do that is to go to leadershipinstitute.org. They have on there for $12, you can sign up and on your computer do a 17-hour course at your own convenience in how to do a podcast, how to craft it, how to produce it, record it, et cetera, et cetera. That's not asking a lot.
What's that website again?
Leadershipinstitute.org.
I love it. I mean, look, think about it. The Kardashians, for crying out loud. I mean, they're short, they're squat, they can't sing, they can't dance, there's nothing really going for them, but they're billionaires and they became style icons. It's crazy. There's no limit to what anybody can do. Anybody with their, and by the way, I admire the Kardashians. They just said, screw it, we're going to do it. Now, granted, they've ruined society, but, you know, they got to have something going for them. They got to have something, some sort of smarts. I can't see it, but whatever it is. I've met them actually a couple of times. They are, you know, they're neither here nor there, but wow. So anybody can do anything. Barbara, great advice. Do it. And, let's try to move the needle. What?
I'm going to do that myself.
Oh man, you would have the number one podcast in America. Do it. Do it. All your wisdom. All right, fantastic. I mean, look at that guy. He got all angry. He's on his way to the golf course yelling at me on the radio, thinking he's doing something. I mean, I enjoy him calling in. I like that he listens, but to really move the needle on the election, there's more that each and every one, and we know that. Thank you, Barbara, very, very much. Hey, I can't stand the Kennedys. I mean, this is Kerry Kennedy, and here she is having a meltdown. It sounds like she's having an emotional breakdown as she endorses Joe Biden. Listen to this.
Trump has said that he wants to rewrite the Constitution so that he can go after his enemies, including members of the press. He said that he will be a dictator on day one. He's proudly said that he packed the Supreme Court in order to overturn Roe v. Wade and take away women's rights over their health care. The list goes on and on and on. President Biden on the...
Oh, President Biden. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not packing the court. Man, the Kennedys, huh? Piece of work. Hey, what did Kennedy, what did Ted do to that girl again? Yeah, right.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.